Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey there, welcome to The Dr. Nina Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, and I'm here to help you lose weight without dieting. Because you know what? It's not what you're eating that's the problem, it's what's eating at you. Today, I have a very special guest, Megan Meredith, and she created Home Body Soul, which she describes as a way of life, a way of, as she puts it, finding value in how we care for and steward our homes, bodies, and souls. And let me tell you, Megan has a lot of letters after her name. She's got a bachelor's in applied health science and psychology. She's an ACE, ACE-certified personal trainer. She's a NETA, N-E-T-A-certified group exercise instructor. She's a certified holistic health and wellness coach and a Les Mis body pump instructor. And if you do not know what that is, guess what? I didn't either. I thought it was Les Mills, but it's Les Mills. It's a fitness company from New Zealand and has really cool group classes. They want people to fall in love with fitness so people want to work out. What a concept. She's going to tell us more about that maybe. So Megan believes in a holistic approach to living, and she says that our environment profoundly impacts our overall health and well-being. She loves helping women become their best selves, finding their worth, and gaining self-confidence in who they are and who they were created to be. And she also just created a fitness planner for women called Whole Body Fitness, and she's going to tell us about that too. So let's meet Megan. Hi, Megan. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Dr. Nina. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. So tell us, how did you come to be in this place of helping women create more beautiful, meaningful lives? Where does all this come from?
Yeah, so it's kind of a ironic story. I set out to be a physician assistant, and I studied all through high school and college, setting myself up for PA school, and I wanted to be a physician assistant because I wanted to help educate people on how to live healthier lives, and I thought that that was the best avenue to go about doing that. And so I studied applied health science and psychology in college, and I applied to PA school after I graduated, a year after I graduated, and a few months later, I found out that I didn't get into any of the schools, and I just crumbled, and I was like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do with my life? Because this is what I set myself up for, and I really didn't know what other options were out there. And it's funny, because a few years prior, my mom suggested that I become a personal trainer, because I was always really active, and I enjoyed working out, and I was on the cheerleading squad, and I was just like, no, Mom, that's not for me. I want to be a PA. And so, you know, flash forward a few years, and I revisited becoming a personal trainer. And I just started digging into what options I had, being that my physician assistant career was not really looking to be an option anymore. And I discovered the career of health coaching. And I didn't even know health coaching was a thing. And this was, you know, 3.5 years ago. So it was very new at that point. It's still a relatively new field. And I started reading more about it and realized, wow, this is exactly what I've always wanted to do. I wanted to educate and inspire people to live healthier lives, and I get to do exactly that through the means of being a health coach. And it was just so ironic. So I started my personal training certification that spring, and then at the same time, I was getting my health coaching certification from Emory University in Georgia. So finished all those certifications, and then a few months later, my husband and I moved out here to Los Angeles. He is in the Air Force, and so that's another reason why I decided to kind of take a different route with my career, because, you know, if I could have applied to physician assistant school again after not getting in, but I would have run the risk of my husband and I having to live in a separate place for 3 years while I went to school if it didn't line up with
not
where he was stationed.
Not
exactly.
Good.
Exactly. Yeah. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to go this route, and it's allowed me to create my own business that I can take with me wherever we live. So it's a beautiful thing, and mom always knows best. She called it years before.
That's what I tell my daughters, but they don't listen. I'm going to say, hey, Megan said so. Listen to Megan.
It's so true.
But, your story really is such a good example of the saying, there's a saying, it's been attributed either to, it's either a Hebrew saying or a Chinese saying. It doesn't matter. It applies to all of us. Man plans, God laughs. And sometimes we just end up being in places that we don't expect, and it ends up being the best thing for us.
100%.
And I know that, you know, not only is that what brought you to this, but that you have a history, a personal mm-hmm. history that was somewhat challenging, and it also inspired you to want to help other people overcome their own challenges. Mm-hmm. Would you mind sharing about that?
Yeah, totally. So I grew up in an unhealthy home environment, and I watched my father struggle with alcoholism my whole life, and I really just watched him waste away his days with every sip of the can. And, you know, I didn't really know, obviously, as a child, how to process all of that, and I didn't really start processing it until a few years ago, and so that obviously was a toxic environment to grow up in, verbal abuse, and it's just not a healthy home environment, and which is why I'm so passionate about helping women create and cultivate healthy home environments, because what happens within the walls of our homes really matters, and the words that are spoken and the way that we speak to one another, it all impacts our wellness. And I saw that growing up, and I saw especially the effect on my mom and the stress that put on her. And so, you know, fast forward a few years, my sophomore year of college, my mom was diagnosed with stage 3 ovarian cancer. And it felt like a death sentence. I remember exactly where I was standing in my dorm room when I got that news, and I fell to the ground and I crumbled, and it was so terrifying and scary, and it was like my worst nightmare was coming to fruition. And so, it was a really scary time, but thank God that she had a fabulous surgeon, and, you know, it was stage 3, so it was advanced. Yeah. And I remember she was supposed to get her surgery a few weeks out, and the weekend after that we had found out, she got really sick and went into the hospital, and they ended up doing an emergency operation that day. And the doctor said to her afterwards, if she had not gotten that surgery done that day, she wouldn't have made it through the weekend. And so that just really like put a lot of perspective on me of, you know, gosh, life is so short and it's fragile. So that obviously was a really difficult time. And a few weeks after she was diagnosed, I got another phone call that my dad had fallen off of our roof at home and suffered a terrible back injury. And his blood alcohol levels were so high that they had to induce a coma. We didn't really know what was going to happen. I remember it was right at the end of the school year. So I was going back from Chicago to Pennsylvania for the summer. And, he was in the coma for a few days, and they did a surgery, and the doctor said, you know, gosh, I'm so shocked that he isn't paralyzed, but really it was shocking that he even survived the fall, and he still, you know, has repercussions from that back injury. But it was during that season, that very short window of time, that I almost became an orphan, and it was really difficult, and I never took the time to process that until, honestly, about a year and a half ago. And that was a traumatic experience. And so I've kind of been on this journey of inner healing and working through all of that, because what I was left with after that season was a lot of anxiety, a lot of panic attacks, fear, worry, debilitating perfectionism. And so I really began to see how those experiences impacted my own health and wellness.
Well, I'm so glad that your parents are both okay. That sounds so frightening. I just want to get back to one thing that you said about our homes. One thing that I find very interesting is that invariably when I am working with patients and they start to make changes and they start to, let's say, get rid of old ideas or be able to relinquish old ideas they have about themselves and the world, they will do something like they'll come in and say, "Oh, I just was suddenly inspired to clean out my garage," or "I totally cleaned out my closet." And there's something so symbolic about, you know, when you kind of pare down and clear space within yourself for something new, there's this motivation to do that in your literal environment. Mm-hmm. So there's such a relationship between our you know, the environment of ourselves, our bodies, our homes, and our actual homes.
Yes, so. Totally. And I've often found that when people begin a wellness journey, you know, with fitness and nutrition and just trying to make lifestyle changes, that begins to spill over into every other area of their lives. And like you said, they're inspired to clean. It impacts their relationships, how they relate to their spouse, their children, their coworkers. It impacts their finances. And so it's very cool to see, you know, I think sometimes we put health and fitness into a box, but really it spills over into all of these other areas of our lives and it creates lifestyle changes.
Absolutely. And when people say, "Well, how do you help people recover from eating disorders?" or "How do you help people lose weight without dieting?" or like, what's the key? What do you do with food?" And I say, "I don't do anything with food. I help people change their relationship to themselves." Mm-hmm. Because when you're changing the way you relate to yourself, everything changes.
Yes.
So now you use a word that I don't hear very often, and that word is stewardship.
Mm-hmm.
So that really stuck out at me and struck me. Tell us a little bit about stewardship when it comes to this.
So it's not a common term in regards to health and fitness. You're right. You don't hear that term often associated with health and fitness. You more so hear it in regards to finances. You know, steward your money and your finances well. But really, stewarding or stewardship simply means taking care of and being mindful of. And so I think that we are called to take care of our bodies and be mindful of how we treat them. And so here's just a little metaphor. A company might hire a brand steward, and that brand steward's job is to make sure that the company stays on brand to their core values, their core mission, and that everything that they are doing and communicating stays true to that mission. And so they are stewarding that company well. And so that's essentially what we're doing with our bodies. We're staying true to who we are and treating our bodies well. And I believe that when we shift our perspective and assign and view our bodies through a body stewardship lens, we assign more value to what we are doing. And when we instill greater value, we're more likely to integrate it into our daily lifestyle, maintain it as true habit, and it suddenly will become just your lifestyle, and you'll be able to live it out. And, you know, the other thing about viewing our bodies from a body stewardship perspective in regards to weight loss, you know, I think about somebody who steps foot into a gym with the goal of wanting to lose 20 pounds, and that's all that they have their sights set on, which is so many of us. You know, "I just want to lose those 20 pounds." So they go into the gym and they work hard for X amount of weeks and they lose the weight. The 20 pounds are off. Well, I'd bargain that over the next couple of weeks, months, you slowly start to see them slipping away from their gym sessions, from their workouts, and they're not going to the gym as frequently. But if we view our bodies as a temple and that we want to take care of them and optimize them to their best, that gives us greater value to continue stepping foot into the gym. And it's not just about the weight loss. It's about optimizing our body so that we can best carry out our greater purpose in life.
Oh, absolutely. So many people are at war with their bodies, which is why, you know, my website is Win the Diet War. It's because people are battling their bodies as if they and their bodies are two separate entities. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to get my body to lose. I'm going to lose weight. I'm not going to let myself eat this. They're mean to their bodies. And what you're talking about is taking a stance of care and nourishing and nurturing, mm-hmm. as opposed to fighting,
right,
and achieving a goal.
Yeah, we want our bodies to work for us, not against us. We want them to be healthy and alive and well. We don't want to be run down and tired and sluggish or constantly chasing our tail, like you're talking about.
Now, you're really talking about from an umbrella standpoint, overarching self-care.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know that you have some principles of self-care. In fact, I think you have six principles of self-care. Would you share some of them? And I want to also invite listeners, if you're out there and you're listening live and you'd like to talk to Megan Meredith, our number is 818-602-4929. Again, 818-602-4929. Please feel free to call with any questions about self-care, stewardship, how to care for your body, your home, body, and soul.
Yeah.
But now Megan's going to tell us about principles of self-care.
Yeah. So I believe that, you know, we need to start taking better care of ourselves and viewing health and fitness through this lens of self-care and body stewardship. And that when we do that, it helps us to become our best self. And we are we can walk into the life that we were meant and created for. And so I have six ways to help you, one, better take care of yourself and become your best self. So number one, you are not defined by your past. You heard a little bit of my story at the beginning of this show. And so you know that I've come from a broken home and background, but that doesn't define me. We all have baggage and regrets, but we can choose today, right now, in this moment, to let go of those missed opportunities, those mistakes, the heartache, and we can choose to either allow those things to have control and power over us, or we can let it go and walk in true freedom. And a part of stepping into your best self is letting go of that past.
Can I just jump in here?
Sure.
Because, and we talked a little bit about this, so I know that we're in agreement on this. It's hard to let go of the past until you mourn the past, mm-hmm. and really, you're not saying, "Oh, just let it go." Like,
no,
we're in the present now. You're saying is to let go of the past. You've got to honor that it impacted you,
yes.
and recognize how it impacted mm-hmm. you, so that then you can, because by mourning it and grieving it and dealing with it and processing it, then it's gone.
Yeah. And that's exactly the journey that I have been on the last, 2 years, was really facing my childhood and that baggage, so to speak, and healing from it. And yes, our pasts have a very deep impact on who we are, and it does impact our character and our personality traits. But we don't have to let it dictate how we live our days going forward. We can learn the lesson, face the feelings, mourn the loss, perhaps, and move forward. And growing into our best self means knowing that grace is bigger and wider than your mistakes and your past. And unless we find that true inner healing, we will continue to walk out hurting ourselves and hurting others from the past regrets and pain. Just like the old adage says, hurt people hurt people.
Mm.
And that is so
I
true.
Love that.
Yes.
Hurt people hurt other people, and they hurt themselves
too. 100%. Yeah. So we need to focus first on our own healing and restoring of our inner souls before we can fully and wholly become our best self in true freedom.
Well said. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and often we need to look at the interpretations about ourselves that we get from our early experiences. Because often when people are treated badly or end up in bad circumstances, kids don't have the wherewithal to say, "Oh, you know, something's wrong with mom and dad. They're just not able to take care of me the way they should." Kids tend to say, oh, you know, what's wrong with me that this is happening? Mm-hmm. And then that can become this interpretation that there's something wrong with you, or that you can't rely on other people, but you can rely on food. And so recognizing some of the ideas that you get about yourself as a result of your challenging mm-hmm. childhood is such a crucial part
yes.
of stepping into this first, you know, tenet of your six principles of self-care. That helps you free yourself by challenging, well, wait a minute, this is what I believed. Is that true?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you got to really dig deep to kind of get to the core, to the root of those false beliefs. And then there's a whole other process of undoing all of that, you know.
Yeah, and it's hard to undo it back to your, you know, your principles. It's hard to undo it when you're in a mode of self-attack. You can mm-hmm. only change when you're in a mode of self-care.
Yes, yes. And that leads me into number two. You have to be able to visualize what's ahead and visualize who you want to become. And that will propel you into that direction. So, you know, that we want to personal develop, and that development takes time, but you have to be able to visualize where you want to go so that you can create goals and action steps to help you get there. So one way that you can do this is to start with a self-evaluation. I think before you set out on goals of where you want to go, you have to know where you're at. Mm-hmm. And you have to do a self-evaluation of where you're currently sitting. And so take some time to evaluate your current life. How are you? What has been working? What hasn't been working? What season of life are you finding yourself in? Take 10 to 20 minutes and simply write these answers to these questions and evaluate where you currently are. In order to become your best self, it's important to know...
Hold on, Megan. We have a caller.
Oh, sure.
So, hi, caller. You're on with Dr. Nina and Megan Meredith. Hello? Okay. I guess we're not. Wait. Well, if you'd like to call back, caller, we'd be happy to talk with you. Sorry, Megan.
That's okay. So it's just like budgeting or starting a new exercise program. It's key to know where you're starting from so you can actually make meaningful and achievable goals. That's the key. You want to be able to make achievable goals, because if you don't know where you're starting and you just have this very lofty view of where you want to go, you probably are going to create a goal that isn't actually achievable.
You know, that's so, if we talk specifically about weight loss, that is so true, because people come in and they'll be like, I need to lose 100 pounds, 80 pounds, 100 pounds, 20 pounds, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. It's really daunting to think about losing 100 pounds.
Yes.
But it's doable to think about losing 5 pounds. Mm-hmm. And so breaking it up into manageable steps. You can imagine losing 5 pounds. It's hard to imagine losing 100 pounds.
Right. Yeah. So another tip for the visualization piece is to create a vision board.
Oh, wait. Here's that caller again.
Oh, do we have a caller?
Yeah, let's see. Hi, caller. You're on with Dr. Nina and Megan.
Yes.
Hi there. Yeah. Who's this?
This is Kathleen.
Hi, Kathleen. Kathleen, is your is the radio, or are you still listening? Because we can hear something in the background.
Yes, I'm listening.
Okay. Can
you let me turn this down?
Thank you.
Okay, I turn it down.
Okay. Well, welcome. Do you have a question for Megan?
Yes, I do. My question is referring to exercises. How do you gauge yourself that you don't start out too energetic or too ambitious with exercising, and then the next day you find that you did too much and you hurt yourself? How do you
great question.
That is a great question.
Get going.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you ask that, because I still sometimes struggle with that. If I, you know, I've literally done this to myself, where I won't work out I'll miss a few days or a week for vacation, and I'll go back to it, and I will totally overestimate my abilities, and then 2 days later, I'm like, I cannot walk.
So what do you do to avoid that?
So
even Megan does it, Kathleen.
Yes. So how you avoid that is start small. And you know, you don't have to go all gung-ho right away because you have tomorrow and you have the next day and the next day. So just start small, mm-hmm. and maybe you just do 5 repetitions of something because you feel good doing that. And you're like, okay, I'm at a good stopping place. I feel good. I don't feel overly tired or exhausted. My muscles are, you know, they're tired, but they aren't sore yet, which is a good sign that you hopefully won't be, you know, crippling out of bed the next day or 2 days later. So I would say if you're starting a program from the bottom, to just take it slow and to just, you know, do a few repetitions at a time. If you want to work up to 20 repetitions, maybe you just break those 20 repetitions down into 5 and do them at 4 different points throughout the day. So that way you're not doing all 20 at one time, and you can just break it up throughout the day. No one ever said that we have to do our whole workout at one time. I don't know who, like, who said that.
We don't? What?
And there's so many people who are like, I just have to go and, like, do an hour at a time. And I'm like, if you don't have an hour, that's okay. Maybe you have 20 minutes here, 10 minutes there, 20 minutes here. It all adds up. It's all movement. It's all good for you. So, you know, we just need to get out of that box.
All or nothing. Yeah. That kind of all or nothing.
So cardiovascular, you don't have to go like crazy and pump your pulse up in an hour and then you're exhausted.
No, you know, it's funny you say that because I actually, one of the pages that I wrote in my new fitness planner is all about movement. It's called the hashtag movement that I want to start. And I read about a study that Oregon State did, and the study said that short bouts of exercise can be just as beneficial to your overall health as a full exercise routine. And this study assessed, I think, 6,000 Americans and their physical activity along with health risk factors. And the participants who moved throughout the day, even for just a few minutes randomly here and there, were nearly as healthy as those who participated in a single exercise session, you know, at 30 minutes or an hour all at one time. So, yeah, I mean, you can break it up. I think the goal, obviously, is to continue adding on to that so that you're continually challenging your body and growing. And, you know, you have to challenge your body in order to get stronger. But if you can just start and all you can do is 5 minutes on the treadmill and then maybe after dinner you do another 5 minutes, that's great.
Yeah, because that's 5 minutes that you weren't doing otherwise. And
totally.
It's still, you know, it still has the benefits.
Yeah. Hashtag movement. It's all about just moving.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Megan.
Sure thing. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks for calling in, Kathleen. And,
yes, thank you, Nina, Dr. Nina.
And let
bye-bye.
Us
be,
feel,
what?
Feel free to
what?
call me back and let me know how you're doing.
I will.
Okay. I'll talk to you later.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Right. Bye-bye.
No, that was a great question because so many people have this idea that exercise doesn't count unless you're just like this red-faced, sweating mess.
Yes.
And I've read, and you tell me if this is true, that actually that's not healthy, that there's that the cardio zone isn't necessarily at that place, or maybe it's the fat burning zone that's not where you're at. Do you know what I'm saying? This is a very complicated question, but I'm not articulating it.
It gets definitely into the science. You know, your fat burning zone is definitely with a lower heart rate.
Right. That's the key that I think people don't realize.
Yeah, you don't have to be, you know, your heart busting out of your chest and sweating profusely to get a good workout in. And it's, you know, if I'm being honest, I even struggle with this, which is why I need this messaging the most, because there are times that I get into this place where I think that my workout doesn't count unless I do an hour of a really, really hard, high-intensity exercise, and that's simply not true. And so I have to step back and remind myself that if I just take the dog on a walk that day, or if I just do 10 push-ups in the middle of writing a blog post, like, that counts, and that is great because it's time moving that I otherwise would have just been sitting, you know, still.
You know, you know how they every once in a while there's some village somewhere in the world. It's in Greece. It's in Hungary. It's in Russia. It's somewhere in the world, and it's full of old people that are at least 100 years old. You know, these villages, these people are not on Stairmasters, and they are not they are just doing normal day-to-day exercise that, you know, in appropriate amounts. Mm-hmm. They're not they're not in that cardio zone, and they're 100 years old and up.
Yes, and very healthy individuals. I actually was at a tea party a few weekends ago, and there were women of all ages, all demographics. It was just a wonderful party. And I there was a woman there who was 95 years old.
Wow.
And her great-grandfather was a Choctaw Indian.
Wow.
Crazy. And she got up and was sharing, and I was just enthralled by her and what she had to say. And one of the women asked, you know, how she did it, how she lived to be 95 years old, and she wasn't even in a nursing home. She was, like, out at this tea party, engaging and having fun. And you know what she said? Just stay moving. Just keep moving.
Keep moving and keep thinking.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's absolutely got to exercise your mind as well as your body. Both are so important.
Yes.
But yeah, just a little bit counts. I think there's some very famous woman who does ballroom dancing, and she's like 103.
Wow, that's impressive.
And when she's not doing ballroom dancing, she's doing yoga. And she's done yoga and ballroom dancing, or maybe she took up ballroom dancing maybe in her 70s, or maybe I'm making this up. But she, at some point, she took up ballroom dancing, and she is out there dancing and being a yogi. And
wow.
You know, you have to do what you love. And if you love getting on the Stairmaster, then so be it. But if you love getting outdoors, taking your dog for a walk, or just doing something,
gardening, dancing.
Mm-hmm. I think that doing what you love and finding joy in what you do, that you're moving, is just so critical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's, you know, and going back to the body stewardship piece, I believe that when we view our bodies as a gift, we are more inspired to move them, because we're coming at it from a place of thanksgiving and gratefulness that we have these bodies that are able to move. And so, yeah, do something that you love doing, because it's a gift that we can move. We don't have to move our bodies. We get to move our bodies. And that perspective change really makes all the difference.
You know, a couple of months ago, I did the Avon 39 breast cancer walk. 39.3 miles.
Wow. Congratulations.
I don't know how I did it, but I met so many women of so many, you know, survivors of different ages, and they all said pretty much the same thing. When you get we have another caller. I'll get back to that.
Okay.
Hi, caller. You're on with Dr. Nina and Megan.
Hi, Dr. Nina and Megan. This is Larry from, wait for it, Burbank. How are you?
Larry from Burbank, a regular caller. Hi, Larry from Burbank.
Do you have good? I it's an interesting subject you have, goal setting and workouts and all that. And I do have one question related to that, and another one that sort of spins off of that. So if you don't mind, I get a two for one.
For you, Larry, you get a two for one.
Okay, thank you. In half off. How would integrate goal setting in therapy? I'm starting with a new therapist on Friday, actually.
For physical therapy?
That's a question for maybe the twofer is one question for me and one question for Megan.
Yeah, that sounds like a good question for you.
Yeah.
That one's actually for Megan, since she's into goal setting, and then I got one for you too, or if you
know, okay.
Whatever. I think, you know, when you're goal setting for anything, whether it be for exercise or for your job, it's important to just create small actionable steps, and to break down that goal into something measurable and something that you can tangibly track. There's so much value in tracking our progress, because how else are we going to know if we actually achieve that goal or not unless we are consistently tracking it and checking in on that goal?
I'd like to also weigh in, so to speak, on that, which is that I tell people you can't fight an invisible army, that you're in a battle that you don't understand, and you're getting attacked by things you can't see, which are the ideas you have about yourself and the mistaken beliefs, which is what Megan was talking about earlier. So one goal for therapy is to recognize when you make that invisible army visible, because when you see what you're fighting, you can fight back. When you can't see it, you just get beaten up.
Yeah.
So
sure.
I would say that, and also to connect with this therapist, because one of the things that I wrote about extensively in my book Food for Thought. Boy, I just gave myself a nice plug there. That just sort of came out.
Nice.
As I talk about the healing power of love in therapy, and a therapeutic love. So, but that's
sure.
based on trust, and so beginning to rather than make it a cognitive exercise with a lot of people do, to trust this other human being that you're both in the room trying to figure out what it is that is holding you back, and that you're working together, and that a goal can be to really feel that sense of camaraderie, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I think it may be, it's so hard to quantify the process, but maybe a good first goal, nevertheless, is see it through and see if the connection happens and show up every time,
mm-hmm.
And maybe make it a point every time to write about it afterwards.
Those are good goals.
Yeah, I think that sounds great.
Okay. Thank you. Got another question spinning off of that. It's I'll be seeing a psychoanalytic intern, and she is, it's all relative, I just turned 59, but she sounds like she's maybe in her late 20s. I don't know, Dr. Nina, if you can address maybe a problem connecting with that age difference. I know that she's training, but she knows a lot. I don't know what you have in terms of thoughts about that.
Well, I mean, on a conscious level, I can certainly understand that would be disconcerting, that you go in and, you're a guy who's, in his late 50s talking to a 12-year-old. Okay, sorry, 25-year-old, whatever it is, that could be disconcerting, and figure out why that is. But you're also taking in not just your 59-year-old self. You're taking into that room your 5-year-old self, your 10-year-old self, the part of you that is still in pain from the past. That little boy is also going into the room. I mean, I can tell you that I've had patients in their 70s who see me as their ideal mommy. So age at a certain point is irrelevant. And I talk with her about it. Don't let it be the elephant in the room. Say,
mm-hmm, sure.
This is how I feel and this is what it means. But my advice to you would be to remember that there's also a little boy, the unconscious has no age. So there's a little boy walking into that room who's hurt and scared. So mm-hmm. as long as she's an adult, that's a good thing for him.
Yeah, I'll not only mention that, but I'll mention your thought about I'm bringing this little kid in, so that could help both of us. But that's hadn't thought of that, and I appreciate that.
You are very welcome. I'm here to help.
Thanks,
there
Larry.
You go. Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, some interesting calls today. Really helpful. So I want to hear more about your points of self-care.
Yeah. So, number three of becoming your best self and taking good care of yourself so that you can become your best self, I want to share some resources and tools out there that I have really benefited from. So, I think we've all heard of the Myers-Briggs personality test. It's an introspective self-report that basically describes different personality types and how people perceive the world and make different decisions. I took that, I've probably taken it four times. And it was very insightful for who I am. But the one that not everybody has heard of and is my personal favorite when it comes to personality tests is the Gallup StrengthsQuest test. I think they might have just changed the name to Clifton StrengthsFinder. And this test helps you discover what you are naturally gifted at and what you naturally do best. And it helps you learn how to develop your greatest strengths. There are 34 different strengths or themes that they kind of fit you to. And they'll, after you take the test, they give you your top five strengths. Have you heard of this, Dr. Nina?
I have. In fact, I just heard about it like a couple of weeks ago.
Really? And have you taken it?
I have it on. The window on Google is open.
Okay.
I think it's, maybe it was before the name was changed, Gallup Strength Finder.
Yeah, it's GallupStrengthsCenter.com.
Yeah, I want to take it. The person who told me about it found it extraordinarily helpful.
Yes. Let me just share my experience with it, because I don't think I've really understood the gravity of this test until recently. So I took this test when I was a junior in college. I was studying applied health science. We did it for our lifestyle management class. And I got the results back, and my top five strengths are 1, responsibility, 2, consistency, 3, discipline, 4, personal development, 5, harmony. And at the time, I was like, okay, yeah, that I can see that in myself. Now, a few years later, I am like, that is me to an absolute T. I take my word very seriously. But the one that really gets me is the developer one. I never knew that was a strength of mine. And here I am sitting with you talking about how to become your best self and something that I'm incredibly passionate about. And I'm a trainer and a health coach.
Amazing.
I know.
Yes. Well, when you find out what you're good at instead of what you think you should be good at, because yes. What I hear from people all the time is other people tell them what they should do or mm-hmm. what they should be good at, and only you can know. And sometimes you need a little help, which is this test
exactly.
is very helpful in that regard.
Yes. Yeah, I think a lot of people fight against their strengths, too, because of those outside voices telling them mm-hmm. that they should be doing something else or they shouldn't be that way. In the past, I tend to be a serious person. My number one strength is responsibility, so I take things very seriously, and I stick to my word. And there have been people in the past who have made me feel like I'm too much, like I'm too serious, I need to just take a chill pill and relax. And so for a long time, I think I fought that strength because it was communicated to me that it was a negative strength, or like it wasn't a good thing about my personality, my character. But what I love about this strengths test is that it helps you learn how to best optimize and utilize that strength, because I think a lot of us might know what our strengths are but don't know actually how to walk that out and use it to benefit ourselves and other people. So we need to learn how to best utilize and optimize these strengths so that we can help others out there with the things that we're naturally talented and gifted at.
And had you actually gotten into PA school and become a PA, you would not have been able to use that development aspect, which is so important to you and so much a part of what you do with this movement. Mm-hmm. Oh, here's another caller. I recognize this caller. Hi, Nick. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi there.
Thank you.
Do you have a question for Megan?
Yeah, a quick question.
Okay.
How many times did you take the test? You said 3 times?
I took the Myers-Briggs test a few different times because I took the test, I think, 1 or 2 times in college for different team-building activities, and then I took it once in high school. But the strengths test, I've only taken 1 time.
Oh, okay, because I wanted to know if they were really different each time you took them.
No, the Myers-Briggs were not different. I feel like, you know, it just does a phenomenal job at just nailing who you are. So, yeah, that one didn't
really
change.
It sounds like it really, really helps.
Mm-hmm.
It's also very interesting because sometimes it helps us get a view of ourselves that we don't otherwise do. We don't walk around saying to our friends, well, what do you think my top 5 qualities are? You know, and I think if you asked your friends, they would probably say many of those qualities. So, Nick, maybe if you want to discover something about yourself and see who you are from a different perspective, that would be a really cool exercise.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Yeah, and just dealing with things and knowing yourself that way and dealing with things. Well, yeah, you're right. It would really make a difference. That's really what I wanted to ask you. And you're right. Every time I go to the doctor for things these days, they want me to walk. They want me to move. They don't sit around. Just keep on moving, and you'll feel a lot better. Mm-hmm. And what you were saying earlier really sounds right. That keep moving.
Keep moving.
Like that woman.
Yeah.
And you don't have to move for an hour. You can move for 10 minutes,
uh-huh.
a few times a day, and that's just as effective as moving for an hour. It's hard to get up and go outside if you're like, oh, I'm going to go do something for an hour. But it's pretty easy to do it for 10 or 15 minutes, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they say. Go out, start off doing 10 minutes. Just start off doing 10 minutes.
That's what Megan says.
It'll fall into place.
And you know what? Because she is such an honest, reliable, responsible person, I think we can take her word for it. Plus, she's got studies to back her up.
Absolutely. Okay.
Thanks for calling, Nick.
Thanks, Nick.
Thanks.
As always.
Thanks for being there.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Well, we only have a few minutes left. I know you have a lot more to tell us. Maybe you'll come back on the show
and
finish off of the rest of those principles of self-care. But I want to give people an opportunity to know where to find you and also for you to tell us about your new fitness planner.
Yeah. So you can find me on Facebook and Instagram at HomeBodySoul and give me a follow. And then, so I just created and authored a fitness planner for women called Whole Body Fitness, and we had a successful Kickstarter campaign. Our Kickstarter campaign ended about 3 weeks ago, and we successfully funded, so we're now in the process of getting it printed and fulfilling all of those orders. But my website is currently up, and you can go and pre-order yourself a copy. The website is www.wholebodyplanner.com, and what Whole Body Fitness is it is a six-month undated personal training planner, and it's a guide to stewarding your body well. And I created this tool that allows you to take your fitness into your own hands with this guided planner that is all about movement, but it has flexibility and grace at its core. My philosophy is one with a focus on freedom and wellness and body stewardship, like we talked about, of living an active lifestyle and less about going to the gym or, getting in that class. While those all are great things, or weight loss and vanity, this planner is really rooted in taking care of yourself and just moving more. So just a little bit of how it works. It is, a 6-month undated planner. And I took my expertise as a personal trainer and I wrote out 6 months worth of workouts. So on each day, I give you the skeleton of a workout, and I basically tell you what muscle group to work and how many reps and sets to do of each of the exercises. But you get to choose your own exercises that you want to do for that day's workout. So you simply flip to the back of the planner. There is an exercise appendix with over 160 demonstrated exercises.
And photos so you can see exactly. It's very cool. She has photos that show you exactly how to do the mm-hmm. exercise.
Photos with bullet points explaining how to do it. The photos are of me. And so you go to the back and you look at the different muscle groups. I have it all broken down very clear and concisely, and then you pick which exercises you want to do for that day. And why I did it this way, couple reasons. One, I realized that there are a lot of people out there who have physical limitations, who might not be able to jump, who might have knee problems, etc. And a lot of the done-for-you programs or the workout videos that you do at home, they don't take those things into account. They're just telling you what to do. This allows you to choose exercises that you are able to do and that you feel confident in doing. And then two, I did it this way because from a coaching standpoint, anytime somebody has their own say in their program, they are way more likely to succeed. And so I am allowing you to have your own say-so and a little bit of your own control in your program by allowing you to pick the exercises that you want. And this planner is beautifully designed. My designer did an incredible job. Each day, it's not just about the workout. Each day has a box where it says, today I feel, and you're able to journal a little bit about how you're feeling that day. There's an inspirational quote, and then it has the workout, and then after my workout, I feel, and there are 8 words. There are 4 positive and 4 negative words, and you can circle how you feel after your workout. Some of the words are energized, grumpy, accomplished, overwhelmed, grateful, tired, and strong. And then there's a box for your other activities for the day that you can write in, you know, other appointments or to-dos that you need to do for that day.
It's really fantastic, and I'm going to order a copy myself because it's just so cool. Plus, I want to support you, Megan, but
thank
it's
you.
Really, really cool.
Thank you.
So thank you so much for being here once
thank
again.
Thank you, Dr. Nina.
Homebodysoul.com.
And then wholebodyplanner.com to order the Whole Body Fitness Planner.
Wonderful. Well, thank you for being here, and that is our show for today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. I'm here every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific here on LA Talk Radio to give you the skinny on weight loss without dieting. You can also listen to the show on iTunes or on the LA Talk Radio app. And if you like the show, please give a review. We love reviews, and it helps us reach even more people. Thanks so much. I'll see you guys next week.
You're listening to The Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle-Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.